And we start this hour with the Newport Hospital Hour of Health. We're here at Innovate Newport. It is the first Thursday of March, and so it's time to go behind the scenes and talk more with our friends at Newport Hospital. And today we've got a couple of great gentlemen to speak with: Walter May, the Director of Security of Newport Hospital, and George Duby, Facilities Manager of Newport Hospital. Walter and George, nice to have you with us. Good morning.
Morning, Bruce.
Morning.
Hey, great to have you guys on board here, and we're going to talk a lot about the quality improvements at Newport Hospital, the experience for patients and for visitors and for staff. And, you know, I think I'd like to start with that, George and Walter. I mean, we talk about, the patient experience and the visitor experience and things like that, but it's as important to have a solid environment with a lot of advances and things for the staff, because Newport Hospital attracts talent from all over the world. Tell us just an opening question about how that is for your job. Are you constantly having to see what's new and what's coming down the pike, or showing people around, or how does it work?
Well, yeah, in many ways we're like healthcare, or Newport Hospital is like hospitality.
Right.
So, yeah, when you get into an elevator, you try and be cordial and chat with staff that are coming. A lot of times they're there because they have a loved one that's has an issue. So sometimes it's nice to, you know, comfort them and make them feel take their mind off of the fact that they might have a loved one that's having an issue, but
Important to be very, very conscious of that. It must be like having two types of customers, you know, where the patients and, as you say, their loved ones, and you have to be conscious of that. And then the doctors, too, because you don't know what the doctors or the first responders, the nurses, technicians, and so forth, you don't know what they've just been through. So it must be something you must have to keep in mind for them as well, right?
Oh, definitely.
It's definitely a challenge, and then making sure that all of our staff also is aware of that environment and also treats all the, all the people that are walking out of the doors every day, like you said, on the elevators or anywhere throughout the day that they encounter anyone walking around.
Sure. Now, George, how long have you been with the hospital?
Coming up on 8 years, I believe in June or July.
Uh-huh. And you're the facilities manager. Now, what does that entail? Are you responsible for those buildings, that complex, or what's your area of expertise, your footprint?
Yeah, I'm in charge of the overall operations of the facility. So whether that's you managing the utilities, the grounds, there's a lot of you don't always realize it because it's happening indoors, but there's almost always some sort of construction or renovations going on inside the building. The hospital is really a collection of 8 buildings of all different vintages, so they're just connected. And so we always have some sort of renovation going on one floor or another.
I always learn something in these hours of health, and I just learned that there are 8 buildings in the complex at Newport Hospital. I did not realize that. What's the newest part of the hospital, George?
The newest? You're going to test me, huh?
the just from an observational point of view here, you know, I just drove up Broadway and drove past, and we see it a million times going by during the course of our day, and you just wonder, hey, you know, I know some of it's been around for 150 years, but what is the newest actual facility there on the campus?
So the newest facility is it goes by the Aletta Morris or the East Wing, Aletta Morris East Wing. And that is where the emergency department is. So a lot of people, that's where most people are probably familiar with. And that was built came alive in 2000.
Wow. Isn't that interesting? And then is the main building that we see, is that the oldest part?
That is not. Are you talking about the tall tower?
I guess so. The ones that are kind of closest to the street.
Okay, so the tallest tower, that's the Turner Building. That was that came online in 1970. And then there's the building, the older building, where there's a statue on Broadway.
Right.
And, oh boy, that was really testing me. I want to say that was in the 1920s.
Wow, so about 100 years, huh?
Yeah, coming close. I might be off a decade. No, it used to be an old school of nursing.
Oh, I gotcha. Wow, so interesting to think about this. And of course, it's such a beautiful facility, and we talk to the docs and the technicians, the nurses, the executives, the administrators, all of the people that we've talked to over the past years here in the Newport Hospital Hour of Health, and we always talk about what a magnificent facility it is. So you and your staff are to be commended. How big is your staff?
Well, the facility staff is about, like, including myself, it would be 18 people.
Wow. For all of those buildings, that's amazing. And then we have Walter, who's got to keep us all safe and secure. Walter, how long have you been with the hospital?
I'm coming up almost 5 years, Bruce. I've been here.
Excellent. And you're responsible for that physical campus there, or is there more of an area that you're responsible for?
No, I mean, I assist on occasion with the off places in Jamestown, 55 Memorial, but overall, I'm in charge here of the contracted security staff, which is complemented with almost about 30 full-time guards. And so there's about 6 to 7 working per shift if we're at full staff. And then I work hand in hand with George in the parking lots or anything to do with the safety and security of the building.
It has become more and more important, certainly over the last few years. I'd say probably over the last, what would you say, over the last decade? I mean, you haven't been there quite that long, but what would you say that things might have changed in terms of the way that we look upon security after 9/11, huh?
I would definitely say after 9/11, and, you know, just it's on a daily basis here, I'm looking for ways to keep the hospital obviously safer and keep, you know, everyone's walking in the doors, all feeling safe for the employees, the visitors, and, you know, and of course the patients. But unfortunately, every day, as you know, you can't put a price tag on safety and security. And I can tell you one thing at the hospital, all since I've been here, you know, I came from the Lawrence, all from the Middletown Police, and I've been overly impressed with any safety or security initiatives that I bring forward, that I research, and I see that, you know, that are in place at other hospitals or on college campuses. Anything that I bring forward, the admin here in the overall hospital is always interested and always supports me. And since I've been here, we've done numerous things that I'm happy, you know, to report out at.
Excellent. And we want to hear about them, and we will in a minute. You bring up a good point, though, as you talk about communicating with your colleagues, certainly with lifespan and so forth. I want to find out from both of you how that affects your day-to-day life and what you are able to input and what is input to you. Really interesting hour ahead, so looking forward to speaking with these gentlemen. Walter May, Director of Security, George Duby, Facilities Manager at Newport Hospital, here in the Newport Hospital Hour of Health. It's the Newport Hospital Hour of Health. We're here at Innovate Newport. We're talking about the facilities and security at Newport Hospital today with Walter May, Director of Security, and George Duby, Facilities Manager. So, George, you know, we just had our winter in one day, and there might be a little more this weekend, but certainly pretty easy to take. What's storm preparation like if we had an actual winter?
Well, obviously, we're a hospital, and we have to operate 24/7 and keep our patients safe. One of the most important things is making sure that we actually have employees here to do that. So we closely monitor the weather, and, you know, if we need to, we'll set up temporary accommodations for employees and providers to stay overnight if they need to, or to have a place to sleep if they worked an overnight shift. We usually do this by taking some of our meeting rooms and just converting them into some sleeping space. We'll try and make it as comfortable as we can. We'll try and you know, put some privacy in place and dedicate some places for showering facilities. So, you know, that's part of the problem. Thankfully, a lot of our staff here at Newport are local, and a lot of them don't have a problem getting in. But there are quite a few that still travel over the bridges. So, a lot of them do take advantage of that. Another big important thing is, I guess, making sure that we still have power. So the hospital has two electrical feeds that come in. So each one is from a different substation. So we have a little bit of redundancy there.
Uh-huh.
You know, one substation goes out, we automatically switch to the other one. And then if there's a bigger problem further upstream on the grid, then we have three large generators that can keep the hospital running. And they total about 2.7 megawatts of power. And so we have a lot of redundancy. If there's a lot that needs to go wrong, and since I've been here, I've never seen the lights totally go out.
Nice.
And I don't think they will.
That says a lot for you. It's we talk about winter and all that. I mean, we could be the same precautions and same redundancy and things would come into play if there were a hurricane or something like that, right?
Yeah, and if there was a big storm like a hurricane, that's something that was forecasting coming up. We have we ended up having to be on our generators. We have about 50,000 gallons of fuel. We have enough to keep the place running with that alone for, you know, minimum of 4 days to well over a week, depending on what was going on, the time of year. There's some certain factors, but and even then we have agreements with our fuel vendors that we would park trucks in our fuel trucks in our parking lot to refill us if we needed to. So we have a pretty extensive emergency management plan in place, and we're constantly looking at it and reviewing it and refining it to what's best and our needs.
Sure. This is really a great behind-the-scenes look, and it's great to be able to get a look like this with the George Duby Facilities Manager. Walter May, Director of Security. Now, we were talking about how the idea of security has certainly changed. It changed at least once after 9/11. It's changed again over the past couple of years and such. And the safety Council and safety improvements are really at the top of the list. And we've talked a little bit about this with the administration in the past. Let's give a good example. How about the badge system that you all use?
Yeah, Bruce, such an important, obviously, topic to talk about and to address was 2020, the hospital purchased the Easy Lobby Secure Visitor Management System. And so that's a software-based application, which now we know who's in-house at all times. So if you're an employee, then you wear a badge at all times, and you go through the employee doors. If you're, you know, obviously a patient with all emergent care, then you come through the ED. But everybody else that comes in the hospital at all times now has to be screened and vetted. The idea is that we'll know who's in-house at all times, and it'll keep everybody safer, and we'll know when someone's in here that shouldn't be in here. So it might be on a given day that we had a problem with, you know, an outpatient, you know, person. That's very seldom here, but if it does happen, then I can go back and research all the following day when there's a different security guard working up in those areas. And at that point, when a person checks in, then he'll know that there was a problem with that particular person the day before. So it's a good way of everybody just knowing, you know, how safe the Newport Hospital is trying to make it for everyone. It was tough when we first got it going because, you know, I think there was a concept with, you know, people all used to Newport, like you said earlier, and we're, we are a city, but we're, you know, a different place now. It's a lot busier. So we have security all posted at the ED main entrance and also the main lobby, all to be there mainly, obviously for presence, but also for security for the hospital.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we're hoping that makes the community and the people that are coming here on a day-to-day basis feel safer. And so the visitor management system, when someone comes in after they tee up and they're asked a couple of questions, then we ask for their ID. If they don't have the ID, then we'll get some information from them. It's not PHI, though. You know, at one point the people, you know, all because of something new, you know, it was a change, and I had to go up there once in a while and obviously explain to all the person at the desk that it was not PHI. It was almost like going to the airport. All I need to know is your name and a photo in case something happens.
Oh, I see. Sure.
And we simply just give them a little sticky, and when they walk around, then everybody in the hospital knows that they've been, all vetted and, you know, or properly checked. And then If they come in the following day, then we can find them right in the system without the hassle of giving their license again. So it's a great thing.
It's just a part of life now. Walter, you know, you mentioned that there is kind of no season anymore, that we're busy in Newport week in, week out, just about all year long. And this comes as a surprise to people who live here and never leave and all of that. We get that. But there still is a time when there's a lot of people who come here from away. Give us a sense of how the number of people that come through those doors increases from, well, maybe in another month or so, right on through to the fall.
Right. So outside of COVID, obviously, then we've had occurrences where we have up to 800 people come in, you know, in and out of the hospital during a given day. You know, we'll have some days that, you know, it might be a busy day for some reason on a, you know, I think a hot day is normally on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And obviously during visiting hours or when we're having all the outpatient surgeries and so forth. But yeah, you know, it could be, you know, it could be a day of 400 people or it could be almost 800 people that are walking in and out of the hospital all throughout the day here in Newport.
Yeah, that's a big, big difference. What are the visiting hours, by the way?
Oh, you know, they're constantly changing.
I asked out of an out of an actual curiosity. I'm like, gee, you know, are they still like, you know, 4 to 6 or whatever they were?
Every department, Bruce, is pretty much different for the visiting hours, but it's normally between like 1 and 3:30, and then again in the evening from like 4 to 6:30 or so.
Yeah.
Some departments have different hours, and they have, you know, a decreased amount of hours.
Sure. No, you can tell I haven't been to visit anybody in the hospital for some time. and fortunately, knock on whatever the table's made of, I have not had to use the hospital, although we got amazing care. My son did have some surgery several years back and was just blown away by the facility, the professionalism, and the whole atmosphere. And I've said this many, many times, so I'll say it to you guys because it's your building and stuff. I am a Newport Hospital fan. I really am. And you guys are amazing and continue to be amazing. So we want to talk about some of the things that have changed. You mentioned COVID, and certainly the past 3 years have seen such a marked change in everything, and Newport Hospital is certainly no exception. So we'll talk a little bit about the after effects as we emerge from all of this stuff, and talk more ahead about kind of what's behind the scenes and what makes the facility run and makes us all feel safe, with Walter May, Director of Security, and George Duby, the Facilities Manager of Newport Hospital, our guests this time around in the Newport Hospital Hour of Health. From FM 101.1 and AM 1540, it's the Newport Hospital Hour of Health, the March edition, first Thursday of the month. We are here at Innovate Newport, right down the street from Newport Hospital. We're talking with Facilities Manager George Duby and Director of Security Walter May. So, George, there are so many new things going on, and we want to talk about them from your standpoint and viewpoint. There's an employee gym, and this is really, really something. Tell us about that.
Well, actually, the gym's been great. You know, LifeSpan's been working on employee engagement for the last 2 or 3 years, and one of the biggest things we got in our feedback was that our gym, we've always had an employee gym, and it was just underutilized and just really didn't get a lot of love. So before you knew it, we shut it down, and it was under construction. We overtook a storage space next to it, doubled the space of it, and within 6 months, I think we had a gym in place, or we call it a fitness center, but that can probably rival any fitness space on the island for its size. It's open 24/7 since, you know, a lot of employees work around the clock here. It's free. There's all sorts of diverse modern equipment. We've got 2 Pelotons that are free membership for employees. Punching bag, heavy bag, I should say, just brand new equipment. what else? Cardiovascular, medicine balls, all sorts of stuff for CrossFit. It's really great. And ever since it's we've opened it, it's busy. You know, we went from something that was really underutilized and hardly anyone used to now something that it's buzzing around the clock.
Hey, that's great. Fantastic. And as you say, a great point that it is all part of employee engagement. And from your standpoint, I mean, we had the administration in here a couple of months back and had a great chat on, and it continues to be an inspiration as to how you're recruiting and retaining employees. But somebody's got to move in the Pelotons, and that'd be you. So it's it's great that that's all working out. There's additional dining now. You've got indoor dining, outdoor dining. Tell us what that was like putting that in.
Well, you know, that was another thing that was kind of born out of COVID. We have a cafeteria that's, you know, on the ground level, basement level, and once the employee kicked in, we had to do a lot of social distancing. So one of the things we did was to expand outside. So again, that was a lot of feedback from employees, but also because of COVID, but it's here to stay. And so we were able to create some nice picnic areas along Powell Ave, Friendship Street, and Broadway. And then we also, you know, most people who've been to the hospital know we have that beautiful atrium area that's got all the natural light coming through the skylights. We expanded that into some dining area. And again, originally it was because we had to do some social distancing. But I don't know. It might be here to stay. And it's nice because even when it's in the winter, it's too cold to go outside, or if it's raining, employees can still bring their food up there and get some natural light. It's good for everyone's health.
It improves the frame of mind, no doubt. You know, that having been said, and, you know, George, you're almost like the fun and games department over there, right? And Walter's like the serious guy with all the security. But, you know, we have to acknowledge that things are different. And you mentioned since COVID, Walter, since COVID and maybe a little before that, attitudes have changed. The vibe is different. We're not getting along. And unfortunately, it manifests itself in places like the emergency room, and you've got to be conscious of that. And there are a couple of things that you've done to really meet that and to make everybody just feel secure. And one, for better or for worse, is metal detectors. Tell us about that.
So the metal detectors, I'm proud to say it's definitely it makes everyone. Most especially the staff here feel a lot safer because it may just be the other person that comes in the summer and a sailing guy that has no idea that he has this long, you know, long knife on him that he uses every day for work or contracting that walks in here with, you know, any kind of minor injury and he walks into the ED. At least now that we're able to capture those things that we don't want to, you know, or come behind the doors and end up in an operating room or an X-ray room or when a nurse or a CNA is in the room with them changing them. You know, like I said, 99% of the people don't have any intent to harm someone, but I think overall it makes everyone feel a lot safer. So the hospital is definitely a leader, Newport Hospital, in this area. I'm getting phone calls about once a month from other hospitals in the state and even out of state asking about our metal detectors. And they're really great because when someone walks in there, then once again, we have a security guard front and center. And, you know, like you mentioned as well, the patient experience is the main thing. So the way that our security guards are approaching this is in a, you know, very welcoming way, although we want to make sure that, you know, like I said, that no one's walking into our patient care areas with a weapon on them.
Sure.
So at that point, they'll simply ask the person coming in, as long as you don't need emergent care, you know, I need you to put all your items in here, just like the airport, and then I'm going to have you go through a metal detector. And we have great guards that are trained to explain the process. And overall, the feedback has been great because I think people all want to feel safer, right, Bruce? I mean, everybody
Absolutely.
Knows, or read the papers. So I think that they really have accepted this. I mean, of course, there's a few people that don't like it, and that's why we have the metal detectors. But we're keeping so much out of the hospital now that shouldn't be here. And I think that a lot of people that on a regular basis come in for any type of care that are frequent people here, that they know now not to bring in these things. I mean, I had a person one time that was fully licensed to carry a weapon and a permit, but he forgot that he had it on him.
Sure.
And so when he came in and he saw the metal detector, they said, oh, I forgot. And he went out to his car and he had a lockbox. I don't know if he was off-duty policeman or what have you, but so it's really a great thing, and I'm proud that we have it here. I'm proud that the hospital took the initiative and spent the money on it, because a lot of times security is not something that anyone thinks about adding a lot of funds into, but the hospital has, and it's shown great, you know, all data and stats that we're proud to show, you know, and once again, most especially to our staff, because we want them to feel safer.
And, you know, you brought up a great point, and as you say, when you point out that most people don't really have the intent to do harm, it's important, and you can tell just in talking to you that you and your staff have really been and have had training in how to talk to people, safety care, de-escalation, and that really is as important as having that hardware in place to make sure that nothing bad is coming in, right?
For sure. And like I said, I mean, I want to, you know, just reiterate that our security guards, even though they are security guards, that we want to keep in line with our values and obviously caring for everyone. So that's our overall goal here at the hospital. I mean, it's different from my previous background in law enforcement. I know I'm still doing that kind of work here, but it's more about all the patient. And part of that process is making them, when they walk in the doors, feel safe and making sure that all the security guards are part of the team here that approaches people in this way, in a welcoming way, but also while focusing on their safety from the time that they walk into the door till the time they leave.
Yeah, it has to be that way, no doubt. You know, it keeps coming back to us, hey, things really changed 3 years ago, yesterday, I guess it was, or certainly this month, and we're conscious of what we've all been through in the wake of the pandemic and so forth. George Duby, Facilities Manager, talk a little bit about isolated patients with highly infectious diseases, because they're still around. You know, COVID is as COVID does and all of that, but there's still flu and viruses, and sometimes you don't know what somebody's coming in with, and you've got some, you've taken some extra precautions for isolation. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, you know, COVID really threw a curveball at everyone. They have plenty of isolation areas here in the hospital, but when COVID came about, we had to start looking at creating whole floors and larger areas of the hospital that were never before, you know, they weren't built with that capability. So it was definitely a challenge. We had to reverse airflow of a lot of, you know, air handlers and modify ductwork and do cut holes into the size of windows and walls to reroute air, because you know, a lot of it wasn't just to make spaces negative pressure, which is what we wanted, but a lot of it was to also make sure that that air from that room was going, being safely exhausted outside, preferably to the roof, you know, where it could just safely go up into the atmosphere and not recirculate it into the hospital. So it was a stressful time for sure for a few months. We were really working around the clock, and then we purchased HEPA filters, you know, about 150 pretty high-powered HEPA filters that we put all over the place to add. And our carpenters were coming in every day, and for 3 months straight, I don't think they cut a piece of wood. All they were cutting was plexiglass and just making shields to go around the hospital to, you know, keep safe barriers between staff and patients. And it was quite a time. I'll never forget it.
Yeah, it is just an amazing thing. And look, the results are there. I mean, we've talked to Pam McLaughlin and, of course, Krista, and all of the administration, that the president of the hospital and everyone on down. And the results have been there. I mean, the fact of the matter is that the cases and the incidence of infection and things were kept down. To your credit and everybody's credit, it was really, all things considered, quite safe during a time that we really didn't know what the heck was going on. And as you point out, some of those measures are much more visible, but I want to just talk in the time we have remaining about some of the things that you take care of that we don't even see. And we'll talk about some of the safety improvements as well. As we conclude with Walter May, Director of Security, George Doobie, Facilities Manager at Newport Hospital, in this month's Newport Hospital Hour of Health. Hey, it's the Newport Hospital Hour of Health. Our guest this time around, Director of Security, Walter May, Facilities Manager, George Doobie. And, you know, we've been talking about the improvements and the experience, some of which you see, some of which you are seeing more than you used to, but there's a few things going on that you don't see. And that's okay, because you're not supposed to. For example, take a second, George, and just talk about the water treatment and how that is so important, but we never see it.
Well, it's water treatment, a lot of the water treatment goes to Legionella prevention. That's undoubtedly the number one waterborne disease concern in healthcare. And we made some big advancements. Lifespan did as a whole about 6 years ago. I think they were one of the first to install a monochloramine system, which is basically you're just putting small amounts of chlorine into your water, but you become a public municipal water system. And back in the old days, every once a quarter we would be at all hands on deck, and we used to have to prevent Legionella. We would once a quarter, everyone would go all over the hospital, and we'd boost the water temperature up to 180 degrees, and have to run every faucet and shower in the hospital. And that was just a preventative measure, and it took several days to do, and it put a lot of wear and tear on the pipes of the hospital. But it was necessary because you had to keep the patient safe. But when we installed these three monochloramine systems a few years ago, and all of the Lifespan hospitals did, it made it effortless, and we don't really have to do anything other than monitor the system, and we do a lot of continuous testing, and we haven't had a single detectable Legionella sample in the 6 years since we've installed the system. So it's really been incredible. And like Walter was saying earlier, I get probably at least a call a month from another hospital system who's asking questions. I think the company that installed it for us probably puts me down as a reference, but it's great. I think, don't quote me on this, but I think Lifespan is still the only system in the state that's using monochloramine. But it's been fantastic, and it's been better on our staff as well.
So interesting. It really is. Walter, your background is law enforcement, and we've kind of touched on that a little bit. You do continue to have a strong relationship with the Newport Police Department. Tell us about that.
All right. So obviously, Bruce, we want I'm not going to be able to do my job here and or function all successfully as a security manager at Newport Hospital without a good rapport with the police department. And I'm proud to say that the hospital has always had a good rapport, and we actually have these quarterly meetings now where even all the island departments will show up. That was kind of put on hold during COVID, but on a regular basis or a monthly basis, I can pick up the phone or vice versa, and I can talk to Captain Marino or Captain Sylvia or Ryan Duffy, Captain Duffy, in regards to anything that, is an issue with all their staff here at the hospital or my staff here at the hospital. I think they know now. I'm coming here that all the police department that, we have 6 to 7 guards working, which is, a lot of guards working here, on a shift. It's almost the same that they have on a shift. So there's numerous times that I never have to call the police, and they know that our security guards are doing the best job that they can, but all vice versa, that when we call them, they're here within seconds if they're not already here dealing with something. And there's a great rapport between, the police department and the security department and the hospital here. Of course, there's going to be times where there's some issues, but I feel that that all those issues get addressed all professionally, at least I feel that they do, and it's a continual, process. But it's been very helpful on my end here because they've been very supportive, like I said, and a lot goes on behind the scenes. And then I have to mention that, I have numerous young guys here that are interested in getting, involved in law enforcement. And what better of a background than working with all walks of life here in the community and working with the police than to apply and to be considered for a job. So I want to say I have at least three hospital or security guards now that are employed by the or the police department. So that says a lot about all the kind of work that they do here and how, obviously, how the police department wants the same type of individual that can de-escalate and actually, you know, all deal with all walks of life and good and bad, you know, at times in their life.
That's a great point. It's so good to hear that and so reassuring, really, but yet something that we don't stop to think about, but maybe we should. So really appreciate the insight from both of you gentlemen today. So let me ask you this now. We've mentioned lifespan a few times, and of course Newport Hospital is a lifespan facility, but yet Newport Hospital is a separate entity within the framework. How much of what you do comes down from lifespan, and how much have you contributed to what happens at other lifespan facilities? I'll bet that's quite an interesting thing. I'll bet the information's going that way.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I would say, you know, we try as a lifespan hospital to continually work together, and a lot of the policies, you know, all come down from all from the president here, and then all the executives at Lifespan, and everything from the policies to our daily conversations and any issues that we have. We try to do it on a system level, and I deal on a regular basis with the security manager at the Miriam Hospital, as well as the director of security at Rhode Island Hospital. So it's definitely something on a daily basis that we try to keep in sync. You know, but there are things that are a lot different down here in our environment, Bruce, as you know, sure. And we're a small community. And we have a different type of community, you know, it's a lot different. And then they're a lot busier up there, but they have more staff. But to answer your question, yeah, you know, by all means, we do work in a network with Lifespan.
Yeah, it would have to be. And it takes a special touch to be able to function and to function well where you're getting there's someone at a corporate level who you have to report to, and you have to be able to work within that framework. And yet, what we found over this last hour is that both of you in your departments have come in with some innovations and some things that would benefit the other parts of the corporate family. And so that, I'm sure, has to have been acknowledged. And I'll tell you, no matter who we speak to, whatever department it is, whatever specialty, discipline, and so forth, doctor, surgeon, nurse, technician, and so forth, at least once during the hour, we make the statement on some level, hey, you don't have to go anywhere else other than Newport Hospital for this quality of care. And the same extends, as we found out, to security and the facilities. I mean, there's nothing that you all are offering and are taking care of at Newport Hospital that is on any level would rival any of any hospital anywhere in a big city. So, you know, you are to be congratulated. You really are. We've learned so much from you today. So that's great. We appreciate you both being with us today.
Great. Thanks for
being here, Bruce. Appreciate it.
We appreciate your time, and keep up the good work, and all the best to your staffs. Walter May, Director of Security, Newport Hospital. George Doobie, Facilities Manager, Newport Hospital. If you want to find out about what all is going on at Newport Hospital, plenty of volunteer opportunities, and the events are coming back, 150th celebration, much, much more, just visit newporthospital.org, and tune in again for the Newport Hospital Hour of Health.